Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be lying.
After all the chaos that the ESPN insiders provided for a potential Rockets, maybe apocalypse, depending on where you cite it, last night's draft, at least for the Rockets, pretty normal. In fact, very normal as far as what we thought was going to happen leading up until yesterday morning happened. They took Reed Sheppard. He is the pick, number three overall. The Rockets take the shooting guard and maybe transitioning the point guard prospect out of Kentucky. We'll hear from Rafael Stone later in the segment. He talked about why they made the pick. I believe his name is Jackson Gatlin, asked this question: why Sheppard over Klingon? And then we hear from Rafael Stone talking about it. So we'll hear from him a little bit later. But as far as the night itself and the pick, look, if you are someone who's excited about the Reed Sheppard pick, maybe you should be, because a lot of people, whether you find them reputable or not, just people who break down prospects, thought Reed Sheppard was the best player in the draft. You go to the Ringer, Kevin O'Connor believed that. There are a couple other guys who believe that as well. They considered him the best prospect. A lot less questions about him than some of the guys who went ahead of him. Well, the two guys, and Saar and Richichet. Some questions about what those guys can actually be despite being bigger guys, and the intrigue about the size and some and the versatility they may be able to bring. Reed Sheppard, from some, was the more solid prospect, and the Rockets certainly felt that way as they take him and they choose him over the size that Klingon could have provided. Although I don't know that it was Klingon or Sheppard. In fact, I think we heard yesterday that if not Sheppard, the Rockets would have traded the pick. Like, if Reed Sheppard was off the board, the Rockets would have seriously considered trading that pick as opposed to even making one. There was some talk that they were open to have conversations up until their pick, and then I guess they saw that Sheppard would be the guy, so they went in on making it. So a very normal draft for the Rockets when trades were suspected, trades were rumored, a trade down, a trade for a package would include the number three pick for a potential star. None of that happened. They were boring. And maybe that's the best way to go about it. Does this mean it will be something where they aren't in the mode to win now? We heard Windhorst say now. They're trying to win now. Maybe not winning now, or at least trying to get a star now. Maybe that's not what they were ever intending to do, despite some of the claims from ESPN yesterday.
Windhorst said that they want Kevin Durant
now.
Stephen A. said that the Suns want to trade Kevin Durant
now.
Still no trade. Over 24 hours.
And Matt Ishbia responded with, actually,
I love Kevin.
We love him. He loves being here. We want to win. We're going to compete. And so that directly flies in the face of the narrative being spun.
I think even Jim Schlossnagel was like, Kevin Durant loves it here in Phoenix.
Well, we can't trust Schlossnagel.
Oh, okay.
We will hear from him as that saga continues, because he had his presser after the show ended. Normally this show, at least in its when we first got going, we would get news. We got the Stephon Diggs trade right as this show was starting. So we've been able to discuss things that are happening at the moment. In the moment, unfortunately for us, the Schlossnagel, all the news about him is coming after this show's over. The press conference, in fact, the initial official announcement that he was taking the Texas job came after the show. So we will play some of Texas's new baseball coach's response to some questions. He does offer an apology, not to the Texas A&M people, except for that reporter. He didn't apologize to the people who feel like he duped them. Maybe that'll come later. But for now, he's very happy to be in Austin, and why wouldn't he be? It fits what his family life is, his personal life, and his career goals, as we heard a couple days ago. But as we turn back to the Rockets, we'll get to the Astros in the next segment. Look at them. They're 40-40. I guess maybe applause from some of you. Me, maybe the more cynical person, says, where have you been? Well, congratulations for doing something you should have been far out seeding throughout the year.
But, and maybe we'll say this later, we've always said, get to 500.
That's
we'll
true.
Take you seriously.
That was going to be part of me walking back some of my cynicism in the next segment. We'll talk about what the Astros did yesterday. Great performance by Spencer Arrighetti. He's a man who doesn't like surprises. You surprise him, you're going to have a disaster on your hands as far as a pitching performance. If he knows when he's going to pitch, he can provide you with a great start. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. So they take Reese Shepard. It feels like their rotation is set. We know people are now talking about the core seven that Sean and I have mocked relentlessly, honestly, because of the notion that you can actually have a core of six or seven players at all within the ages of 23 to 20. You know how ridiculous that sounds? You know how many egos are going to play a part in the eventual determination about how the Rockets are going to proceed? You can't have that many guys who are that talented and call them a core, because your core can't consist of guys getting 10 minutes a night. Some of those guys are going to ask to either get moved or ask for more minutes.
Or just like in 2 years when you have to start paying them.
That's the financial aspect of it. But the interpersonal stuff, you can't have that many talented guys you drafted that high and have them all together and all of them be happy about what's going on. You can do all the photo edits you want and have core six and now core seven as the thing you bank on as far as being excited about the Rockets youth movement. It ain't going to last long. Some of those guys are going to be used to consolidate talent into one maybe better player than two to three really good players, just how it works. As Sean said, you can't pay them all. And at some point, those guys are going to buck against the fact that, wait a minute, I'm pretty talented. Why aren't I playing more? Why am I? And we know Ime already has the veterans on his roster he wants to play. Y'all better cut that crap out. You're going to be, I won't say you're going to be in for a rude awakening, but at some point you're going to realize maybe we only have like three core players that the Rockets actually believe in. The other guys can be moved at any point for anyone if they think it'll improve the roster. But we can live in the dream world right now where you got a lot of talent on your roster. You think you might have a rotation of 10 for the regular season, I would say. Have you paid attention to what your coach is about? You don't think another veteran's going to come in here and maybe steal some minutes from someone? But hey,
Jeff Green's still on this team, folks.
Yeah, you think he won't play Jeff Green if he thinks he needs to play him? But hey, this is late June, and the Rockets are a young, talented team with a lot of upside. They just have to manage that upside and figure out who can play where and who should play. That's probably the biggest part of it.
If Jalen Green can have good games while Shingun's on the court.
Yeah, there are so many questions. There's so many questions, but at least you might have some answers because it appears you have done a good job of accruing talent. The question will be, how much of that talent do you think are keepers? And next season will play a big part. They don't have to jump out and go make a superstar trade, despite what we heard yesterday morning. It'd be fun to think about a potential star coming here, but it's less fun when they're all in their mid to, and in some cases, by the end of their contract, they were Rockets late 30s. That ain't fun. You just don't have prime players floating around ready to be traded. But it is the NBA, so someone's going to get upset, and then maybe the Rockets make a move. The pipe dream right now is Devin Booker. But Reed Shepard's your guy now. Will he play backup point guard to Fred VanVleet? We'll hear from Reed Shepard when we come back and what he thinks he can learn from Fred VanVleet. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Thing is just going in and learning. You know, you have guys like Fred VanVleet that I'll be able to learn from. And just going in with an open mind, ready to learn, ready to do whatever it takes to win and just compete, just go in, have fun, and continue to get in the gym and work on everything that I need to work on. And I'm super excited. I can't wait to get to Houston and get the thing started.
That was Reed Sheppard last night after he was officially a Rocket. Number 3 overall pick is coming to Houston. Sean talked about this maybe a couple weeks ago now, how he has coalesced a fan base. Somehow, some way, the guard from Kentucky has everyone on the same path. There are some people calling him Jimmer Fredette, which if I'm Reed Sheppard, hey, let me at least play in the preseason before. Let me get into summer league before you start dropping that on me. But so some people are doing that, but for the most part, people are excited about the prospect of having Reed Sheppard on the roster. Probably feels better than the thought of a couple of dudes who you've rarely or maybe didn't see play at all, like Richesher or Sarr. You get a prospect that played against D1 competition. Not that that always matters, but at least you recognize the player, you recognize the school he played at and the schools he played against.
And if you're of a certain age, who his dad is, because apparently his dad played for Kentucky.
If you haven't heard. And his mom.
I looked up, because I was watching the draft, and I just overheard them talking about, I think it was Risache, the number one overall pick. And they just, as they're going, they're like, yeah, he averaged 10 points last year for the blah, 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 blah. I'm like, whoa, 10 points is what we're doing for the first pick? And I looked up his, like, full averages. He averaged 10, 3, and 0.9.
Yeah, nothing about what Sarr or Richesher have done is going to make you think that's the number one overall pick. It's all about what they think he could be.
Alexander Sarr, 9 points.
Yeah.
Less than one assist.
I was listening to several podcasts about the draft leading up to it. And for the most part, it was a lot of these guys would be lucky to be the 7th pick in a normal draft. But they're going number one. And even the guys who said they know why they're going number one don't have them as the top guy on the board. As I said, the Ringer has Reed Sheppard as their top guy. And they get into some of his strengths and weaknesses. We know he's one of those guys they're going to tab with generational shooter. He is a great shooter on the college level, and the numbers bear out. Look, I have my questions. I've talked about it. Is he a guy who can get into his own shot? If he plays point guard, I feel better about it. But if he's going up against bigger wings as a shooting guard, that is a concern of mine. Of course, you can set a screen. If he's a movement shooter, that works too. You know, in one of the oh, look at that, La Salsa hung up. Sorry, La Salsa. You're probably going to wait anyway just because you called with a fake name. But, Eric, I see you. We'll get to your thoughts on Reed Sheppard. So the questions about his size are there, but there are no questions about him being able to shoot the basketball. It'll just be how he gets into those shots. Can he be a guy who gets them on his own, or will he need a primary creator to get him his shots? Or maybe he'll be a movement shooter who runs off screens. We can possibly see that from him as well. We know he can shoot with the ball screen. He can come out. He can use the ball screen to get a shot. And there was some talk from a couple of people who watch Kentucky that the screeners at Kentucky weren't great, so they think he'll get better screening on the NBA level, which may get him better looks than even he had at Kentucky on the college level. Eric, you want to talk about Reed Sheppard? We'll hear from Rafael Stone about the pick after Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys, I think he's a good pick. I think he's the Caitlin Clark of the NBA, or maybe Matt Maloney Jr. But how long do you think it would take Reed Sheppard to go from Houston point guard to NBA analyst to head coach like J.J. Redick? And Dale, how do you feel about Abigail Dye's workout videos? I'll hang up and listen.
I didn't know Abigail Dye had workout videos, so I can't speak to that, Eric. You know me. I don't really dive into local news anchors or local news reporters and what they do when they're not on the news. Hell, I don't even watch them when they are on the news. I don't watch local news. So let's get into, did he ask anything serious? He compared Reed Sheppard to Caitlin Clark. I would say
Both shooters.
Yes, but I don't think the NBA had the attention problem that the WNBA had. And I don't think Reed Sheppard's going to start online race discussions either. I mean, he will have discussions about his race, but it won't be to the point where people are fighting tooth and nail and having these long, drawn-out conversations about it. It'll be the basic stuff where he's a Jimmer Fredette or this or that. I don't. He's not the NBA's Caitlin Clark.
Just watch it. If Stephon Castle pushes him in a game, then you know. If Alexander Sarr sets a hard screen on him, the first take will talk about it for 45 minutes.
They won't even acknowledge that it happened.
What?
They won't. Unless an actual fight breaks
out. If Reed Sheppard is not on the Olympic team, will anyone even watch?
Are the other NBA players jealous of him because of all the attention he's getting? All of these things won't be a factor when it comes to Reed Sheppard's life.
I bet the two Kentucky guards that started almost every game and didn't get picked in the top 10 like Dillingham and Sheppard did, I bet they feel some type of way.
Yeah, Rob Dillingham gets picked 8th overall by the Spurs, and then the Timberwolves, or the Wolves, love him so much. They say, hey, Spurs, make this choice for us, and we'll give you two future first-round picks. That's how much they like them. Now, these first-round picks are way out in the future.
30 and 31.
Yeah, so by the time that has happened, Anthony Edwards will be a Laker. What else could the Spurs be leaning into? Because if Anthony Edwards is still around, those picks are still going to be in the 20s.
No, what it'll be is that the Spurs have the best trade package for Anthony Edwards because they can trade back Minnesota their picks.
What ESPN thought the Rockets were trying to do. So yeah, maybe the Spurs will come by that point. Anthony Edwards is 30. And he still hasn't won anything.
I'm sick of looking at Rudy Gobert's face.
Yeah,
get me out of here.
Maybe Wembanyama's tortured him for the last couple of years, and he wants to join Wembanyama. So maybe the Spurs have a plan in place, or maybe they think we're gonna let them get Rob Dillingham because he's going to annoy the crap out of Anthony Edwards and push him out the door. I don't know, but that's a long way away.
That is
a long game if that's the game they're playing.
Or they all just looked at each other like, it's the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, what are we talking about? Just guess a random year in history. The Minnesota Timberwolves
probably
are probably
bad.
It's
true.
They're bad.
Now, I mean, but Anthony Edwards, if he is what he appears to be, I ain't going to do the whole Jordan thing, but if he is what he appears to be, they're going to be pretty good for quite a while because he won't let them be bad.
Kevin Garnett was good, too.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but they weren't lottery bad under Kevin Garnett. They just eventually didn't win anything.
They were losing the first round.
And they traded him. So, I mean, losing in the first round, depending where you finish in the regular season, still could mean you're picking in the 20s if you're the Spurs. But, hey, they're playing a long game. And I get it. You short the Timberwolves, it makes sense because they're the Timberwolves. At some point, they're going to screw it up. But right now, they got a pretty good thing going. The Rockets are trying to reach a level where they are a contender. Rafael Stone is going to be the architect of that. If it does happen, he was asked about Reed Sheppard in the pick and why they chose him over a certain center from UConn, despite Windhorst and his muckraking from earlier in that day. Here's Rafael Stone on why they chose Sheppard.
Yeah, we had Sheppard very, very high. So I think lots of players, including Donovan, were going to be very successful. But yeah, I mean, our evaluation was that Reed was, you know, Reed has a very special skill set that gives him a chance. It's definitely not certainty, but gives him a chance to be special in the NBA in a way we thought was unique in this draft.
Yeah, he's beyond the shooting, which is what everyone's focusing on because it is certainly a deficiency on this Rockets roster. He is a good defender. He can block shots on ball. He is pesky. You know, he's a guy who's going to get in the lanes and get steals. And even on ball, he can deflect pass. He can deflect potential passes and even guys when they're trying to get by him. So there are other things to his game beyond simply the shooting. It'll be simply a case of will he get picked on the defensive end because of his size, or is he a guy gritty enough and strong enough, and particularly if he's playing point guard, to be someone people don't want to go at, even with the size differential? Because there's some guys we can just use a guy from the finals, Drew Holiday. He's bigger than Reed Sheppard. I think Drew Holiday might be in that 6'4 range, but Derek White and Drew Holiday, known as good defenders, bigger than Reed Sheppard. But you would think with Tatum and Brown out there, you might, if you're a wing with the ball in your hand, you want to get one of those guys on you. these smaller defenders, but no, you don't, because those guys make it tough for you too. So maybe Reed Sheppard is in that mold. He'll just have to be doing it at a smaller size.
Or even at, again, like a 2 inches shorter Steph Curry, where in those finals against the Cavs, it was always, just try to get switched onto Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And obviously Steph Curry is still worth being out there, even if you're getting picked on. And Steph wasn't a bad defender. He was just the worst option. It was just the worst defender out there.
Yeah,
so you're
Iggy,
you're
and Draymond and Clay. Yeah, he was the worst of the old options, but he was at least adequate.
And that only happened at literally the NBA Finals.
Yeah, because
maybe against the Rockets in the Conference Finals a little bit, but
because you had James Harden, Chris Paul, and then LeBron James.
Yeah,
yes,
and against most other teams, just being a smart defender, which it seems like Reed Sheppard is, just being a smart defender who has good instincts. That can get – you're not a liability at that point. It's honestly, so much of it is just effort. Effort and a little bit of
– Smarts. Being able to understand the game a little bit, yeah.
You're not going to be terrible.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, a lot of this can't he hold up on the defensive end is about what would happen in a playoff series when people are looking at every deficiency you have and trying to target you. By the time the Rockets – maybe it'll happen this year. They make it to a playoff series. But by the time the Rockets are a true contender in this timeline, you would hope that Reed Sheppard will be stronger and will understand the NBA game more, where it won't matter as much, because the regular season, he's going to be fine. Sure, there'll be nights where he's going against a star and he's going to have a bad night, but that's everyone. Unless you're one of the best defenders in the world, you're going to have bad nights against the stars in the NBA. So I think some of it is overblown. And then pointing to, well, what happens when he gets picked on in the playoffs, well, we can only dream. We can only dream that that's going to be the scenario where we're worrying about him being a target of, one of the best players in the game in a big time playoff series. If we're there, we can have that conversation.
Yeah, that's a face the cross that bridge when we get.
The Rockets would love to have that problem.
Yeah,
where they have to figure out how to protect Reed Sheppard in a second round matchup against one of the best players in the NBA.
Shai Gilgeous Alexander just won't stop picking on him.
Yeah,
it's like, okay,
cool,
we can deal with that.
Thanks.
It's also the Rockets have seven other guys that can.
Yeah,
they can just throw out a defense lineup.
Sure, and we know if his shooting mitigates some of the impact a potentially bad matchup on the defensive end has for the Rockets, they'll figure it out. They'll work it out. So, a good pick, despite our jokes. When you compare him to what else was out there, I wouldn't have said go get Sar or Richer if he was available.
I was looking at the Ringer draft guide that you linked in there, and the Richer comps were like Harrison Barnes and Tobias Harris.
Ooh. Yeah, and Reed Sheppard got shades of Steve Nash and Derek
White.
So those guys were
good. By the way, good job saying Derek White.
Derek White, really good players that certainly weren't going to be top five picks. Steve Nash probably should have been if you do a redraft, but simply this draft was going to elevate players who may have been in the 9 to 15 range depending on the draft. But hey, I think of the options that were available, I think they did take the best player, and some of his limitations, if they become a huge factor, then that means the Rockets have reached a point where the playoffs are in play, and maybe a title is in play. And that'll probably be 4 to 5 years from now. 12 months. Oh, look at you.
We're just be finishing up the parade.
Look, if they win a title when the core of the roster, and despite the 6 or 7 stuff nonsense about how many members of the core, when the bulk of their roster is in their early 20s, it would certainly be an upset to all of NBA history.
Yeah. You know what else was an upset? A 6 seed winning in 1995.
Yeah, but they're
don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
But these guys aren't champions.
Don't underestimate.
Don't.
Was Reed Sheppard an SEC champion?
I don't. Not even, I think.
Come on, Coach Cal. No wonder. By the way, watching the draft, no wonder Coach Cal got fired.
Yeah, Kentucky.
What are you talking? Kentucky, I know he didn't actually get fired. He
left.
He had a meeting with the AD and then immediately left.
Yeah, Kentucky people
got to
be like,
job.
Wait a minute. The two guards you didn't start were drafted in the top 10.
And aren't you supposed to be the, like, icing guys to the draft guy?
Well, he is that guy. Clearly.
Yeah, but you would think you'd be highlighting the the good one and duns that Sark, you had on your team.
Sark would say, look how great of a roster I built. I didn't even start these guys who were drafted in the top 10. Mm. That might be poor roster management, yeah. But my roster was pretty good, right?
Where'd DJ Wagner and that other guy go?
They're going
to Arkansas. That's where they
well, a couple, and then one of the guys who did play quite a bit hasn't been drafted. He might be a second round pick, or he might be an undrafted free agent. We'll see. A lot of Rockets talk. Certainly, they were the story of the night. The story of the afternoon was the Astros. Excuse me. They've done something that we said they had to do before we started to take them seriously. So we'll talk about them. We'll talk about Spencer Arrighetti and what is up ahead as the Rockets and their 7-game winning streak. The power of that 7-game winning streak goes against the power of Grimace in New York. Who's stronger? We'll find out over the weekend. But first, we'll talk about what happened yesterday and some unfortunate news regarding one pitcher who won't be available the rest of the way. Just adding to the list of guys with arm issues for the Astros, but they still continue to win. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. So, your Astros win again. That's 7 in a row. They beat the Rockies. They have the day off today, and then they go see Grimace and the New York Mets. But the importance of yesterday for some of you, I mean, I would say thank you, Astros, for getting to 500. I know what it means as far as how hot they've been. 80 games in, you're a 500 baseball team. Context is important here because if we started the year having this conversation that they'd only be 40-40, you'd be like, what the hell has happened? But now we know what the hell happened. Injuries, inconsistencies early with their bats, but they found a way to overcome. And what does it mean to be 40-40, Sean?
We did it!
We did it. At least they did it, which means now this show will take them seriously. Any trade discussions, we will take seriously.
Yes.
Any talk of being buyers, not sellers, I will take seriously.
Yes. Now we can talk about the division and being yes. buyers and
yes.
deadline moves. And
all of it.
If Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia come back, watch out.
All these things I would roll my eyes at. Well, I will still do that. You can't see me unless you're on YouTube. But I will still take it seriously that is in play. Keeping track of the division when you were below 500, I wasn't down for. But now it's different. I admit it's different. They have played really, really well. Spencer Arrighetti was great yesterday. He is a guy who, you know, before he got surprised by starting a game, had continued to improve. And yesterday was his finest outing of the year. He goes 7-10 Ks in a shutdown performance. Like, yeah, if you wanna be cynical, yeah, it's the Rockies and they're terrible. But you know what? You'll take it. You found a way to lose series against bad baseball teams. That is not what they're doing now. It was just nice. There was no fuss, no worry about what's gonna happen, and you wanna credit Arrighetti. He had a couple performances, particularly the one where he took over for Verlander. That was bad. And then the next one in a game that they won, he wasn't great. Only went 4 1/3. But today, yesterday, really, really good. The 10 Ks were impressive. Didn't walk anyone either. Just lights out. So the Astros are getting really good starts from their young players or the inexperienced ones, because Blanco's not young, but he is inexperienced. And then you have Fromber, who can, at any given moment, pitch you a gem. Question about the fifth starter? It looks like it's going to be Dubin, I believe. That looks like it's going to be the case, at least until they get healthy. Healthier, at least. I don't know if they'll ever be healthy. But it feels like Luis Garcia will be the next one back. Verlander, he feels better. But once again, the timeline is still one that's incomplete about when he'll be back. So you're looking at the bullpen taking over in that fifth spot until they can find a fifth starter that can go and that they can believe will last. Some unfortunate news regarding the team and their pitching is that J.P. France is done for the year. He will have shoulder surgery, and he's out for the year. The Astros, admittedly, by their own words, rushed him back, and if you want to point to that costing them, you're well within your rights. It's unfortunate that JP France won't be able to pitch the rest of the way. He just joins the list of guys for the Astros who will miss the year who were supposed to be in their starting rotation. They aren't the Astros' best team ever, despite the moniker placed on them by John Granato before the year.
Still time.
Well, if they don't lose any more games, or if they lose like 20 more games the rest of the way, I guess. And then go on and win the World Series. Sure, there's still time for that. But I would say if they did reach the ultimate goal, and like I said, we can now have the existential overarching conversations that they're at 500. If they did win the World Series with this pitching staff, the way it's set up, I would say it would be their most improbable title. It would be their most improbable team. Not their best team. But if you make it through an entire postseason and Blanco is pitching in the World Series and Arrigetti and Hunter Brown is pitching in the World Series and maybe at some point Verlander's back as your other guy beyond Fromber, yes, the most improbable World Series that this team has ever won. And the most improbable team. Hell, I would say you don't even have to win the World Series. You get the ALCS with this rotation. Before the year started, thinking about it, it would have to be the most improbable run. I know
I was going to say 05. 05, they
were
worse.
I know they were buried. Is that the year the tombstone came out? Sure. But that wasn't before the year. They're supposed to be good before the year. I'm talking about what this team...
Like on opening day.
On opening day, what this team... Well, on opening day, what was their starting rotation? Christian Javier... Fromber. Hell, Verlander wasn't around.
Yeah.
Blanco.
JP France.
And JP France. And Hunter Brown. It has changed considerably since. So maybe 05 in the way. 05 didn't have the major injuries. They just weren't good, right? They weren't good. It's who am I asking you for? How old were you at that point?
9 years old.
Yeah. And I was older than that, but still, I wasn't paying attention to the Astros like a lot of people were at that time. So. I would put this one, if they make it to the ALCS, even more improbable than the COVID year when they made it as a bad baseball team and they found a way to get there.
That one, though.
They barely count it.
Everyone throws that out when they're like, they've been good for how many straight years. Yeah, because they're literally under 500.
Yeah, because that one ended in an ALCS berth and they were within a game of going back to the World Series after being... Down 3-0, right?
Yeah, they're down 3-0 and got to game 7.
And then they got their ass kicked in game 7.
Well, so did the Oilers, all right?
The Edmonton Oilers?
Yes.
They lost 2-1.
Got their ass kicked.
That's not an ass kicking.
No. Well, McDavid didn't show up, so.
So McDavid got his ass kicked?
Yes.
Okay.
And he is the Edmonton Oilers.
As far as we're concerned. Because
I can't name any. Oh, Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah, Leon Draisaitl, Stu Skinner, the goalie. I watched enough to know. Hyman was very good. That's his name. That's not me joking about anything. That's actually the guy's last name.
I didn't know which one he played for.
He plays for the
Oilers. I just would hear Sean McDonough say it. Huh?
Yeah, he plays for the Oilers. And
I only know Leon Draisaitl because his first name is Leon. And I just was like,
I only know him.
Leon playing hockey?
I knew him because of the playoffs, but I know him now as 007 because that's what Panther fans have dubbed him. 0.0 assists, but he played 7 games. He was one of the stars.
He's the Zydrunas Ogalskas of the Edmonton Oilers.
Tony Snell. Out there playing, but doing nothing. Just out there running around for exercise. Skating around.
Was this the 07 Cavs for Connor McDavid?
No, because Draisaitl wasn't even Booby Gibson.
It's a high bar.
It is a high bar.
Kyrie Irving wasn't Booby Gibson for the first half of the final.
And to be honest, he had one game, and then he was back to not being Booby Gibson again. He had the one game. Try to make people forget that he was a worse teammate for Luka than Booby Gibson was for LeBron. La Salsa, you want to talk Astros. Can't imagine it'll be very serious, so we'll talk to you when we come back. We'll talk some Astros. We have some college football stuff to talk about. You know, I was looking for some stuff to talk about, and I type in college football just basically to see what's out there, and all of it was about the video game because it's June 27th. That's all there is to talk about, but we'll find some stuff because there are some scraps to talk about in college sports, mostly regarding A&M and Texas. We'll get to that. It's filtering down to the cheerleaders – the cheerleaders are having words with the fan base, like the A&M cheerleaders are like, actually, we do exist. We know you focus on the Yale leaders, but we do exist. And they pull the receipts about, you know, how successful they are. So we might get into that, too, as we discuss the maybe the final chapter until they play an actual game in the Schlossnagel saga. And we're going to talk about the weirdness of Chris Del Conte. Sean doesn't think it's weird. I think it's very weird where he was posted up waiting for his new head coach to come home. But LaSalsa, we'll start with you when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We are back. And so is LaSalsa. He called back. I sigh because this allegedly is an Astros call. He may mention the Astros and congratulate them on their winning streak. And that'll be the extent of the Astros talk. And then we'll get into something else. What's up, LaSalsa?
Hey, buenos dias, Devoncito. Hey, would you say that Houston is all systems go right now?
No. This was an issue earlier today because someone wanted that song to be played to...
No, that, was,
not
that wasn't
you.
Me.
I know it wasn't you. No, you called the other two times this morning. I know it was.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah, you did. Thank you. Do you have anything else, LaSalsa?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
When is Mr. Gal going to get his head out of his keister and hashtag pay the man and get Raheezy back on the radio? Hashtag the people for Raheezy. And if Sean could play some Chasing Water Balls by TLC anytime soon, that'd be great. That's it.
Yeah, you asked about TLC earlier, I believe. In the midst of the first of your two calls. I think you have this wrong when it comes to Mr. Gal paying that man. I don't think the man you want to get paid has any interest in doing that. Who would he just happen to walk into the room. You guys position it as if it's a one-sided thing. I'm not sure the man is all that interested in being paid to be here on a consistent basis, to be fair. Now the man sits down.
What's up, Dell?
What's up, the man?
Yeah. You talking about me? What happened?
There's a guy who called and who consistently calls in and is always like free Heezy. I think Heezy is free, and that's the point.
Yeah, I'm free.
Yeah.
I was talking to Joe George.
Okay.
I will start doing some more stuff with the station, but you got to pay the man.
Yeah. And
pay that man that money.
And I'm not saying the man doesn't want to get paid, but Ryan or LaSalsa, as you're called, I don't think the man would even deal with the guy you think is keeping him from getting paid. That guy's not even here anymore.
Yeah, I'm just going to deal with you, Del. You'll be my liaison.
Am I an agent or your manager? Your representative?
No, liaison.
Liaison.
You get no cut. Well,
yeah, liaison.
Liaison means no cut.
No, I'm not an employee. Yeah, I don't get any money. Yeah. I don't want to be your liaison. I don't want to be the middleman.
No, you're not going to be my agent. I'm not giving you 10%.
What am I doing? Just an assistant is what I am then?
Yeah, you're the assistant to the general manager.
I don't know if you know anymore. I don't just push buttons anymore.
No, you don't. You push buttons and you talk on the
mic.
That's
right.
You do both things.
Which is what I kind of did before anyway. I just moved to a different room. Yeah. In fact, I push a button in here too to turn on my mic. There really is no difference. So the man is here. A lot of people, and it happens on occasion, hey, Raheel's here. Where's Raheel? A lot of people like when we did a show together. I'm not promising that because I don't have any power. But Raheel just told you guys he will be here more often.
I will be. I'll try to stop. And I try calling your show every Friday. I was telling Michael Carroll, I saw him in the offices here, who does a great podcast, Comicast,
yeah.
And I told him, for whatever reason, every Friday I'm in my car at 11:45, and I love listening to that segment. So I always try to call in before that segment.
Yeah,
or is it 11:45, right?
Yeah. He joins us at 11:30.
11:30, pardon me. I always try calling in at 11:45, and then Sean is always like, what's up, man? Yeah, Michael's on. And then he's like, yeah, I'll put you on. And then you just go, I'm not taking your call, Raheel.
Well, I did it once because we were already long. And it was in the middle of like one of Michael's things I want to hear about. But actually, you bring that up. I'm glad you bring it up because I tried to not have people spoil things during the middle of the week, particularly with House of the Dragon stuff. So if you guys are interested in talking about that show or any show, that is a segment to do it. Tomorrow at 11:30, we will welcome calls to talk about any show you want. because it's not going to be spoiler free. Everyone, if you need to tune out, not great for me.
I tune out. I haven't tune watched out. It yet. I'm waiting for 6 episodes to drop, and then I'll watch. And I'm also focused on The Boys right now.
I am watching The Boys, too.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The Boys is ridiculous.
And to be honest, Sean's talked about it. He's not a big Star Wars person. This episode of The Acolyte is the first time in years I actually cared about what was going on in Star Wars as far as leaving the show going, wow, I'm not going to give it away. But it was darker than anything I've ever seen.
It's
Star
good.
Wars.
The show's. I've heard it wasn't
it's
that
okay.
good.
It's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
But episode 5 was a Star Wars episode. It was different from anything I've ever seen, considering the violence, the on-screen violence in the show.
Okay.
And Manny Jacinto, who was in The Good Place, played a very jovial, jokey character. Yeah. Has a very different role in this show. I was like, wow, okay, that's not Star Wars I recognize. It was really, really good. I don't know how the rest of the season's going to go, but episode 5
It's not a musical, right?
No, okay. that's The Joker 2. That'll be a musical.
That's Joker 2. That is for real a
that's
musical.
That's going to be a musical,
right. Lady Gaga's on that one.
I don't know why you still say Gaga.
That's how you pronounce it.
No one says it like that.
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah, it's like Memes.
No. It would be like calling you like Rachel.
Rachel. Well, everyone calls me Rachel.
I know,
the first
why I said it.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah. Raheel is his name, and he is the host of CityCast.
There you go.
CityCast Houston. You can find it anywhere you listen to a podcast. It's readily available. And as you might imagine, it talks about the things that are important to the city. What do you have going on for this podcast?
Did you see Mayor Whitmire's comment on Judge Hidalgo's Facebook post? So,
I did not.
So I cover more news, culture, lifestyle, and I know you probably missed this one. So Judge Lena Hidalgo is engaged. She had her wedding, what is it called? Bridal shower. And she posted a picture of herself and her fiance. Mayor Whitmire, on his official account, goes on that and goes, wonderful, period. He looks like a nerd. And there's already tension between these two important figures
people
here
in
the city of Houston. Like, these are two of the most important people, the mayor and the county judge. They one time, Mayor Whitmire didn't give her a hug at the marathon. That became a whole thing. They had joint press conferences where Judge Hidalgo was like berating Mayor Whitmire. They did separate press conferences, and then this happens, and this has become a huge thing.
Well, the question for me is, since I remember what this guy looks like, and is the mayor wrong?
Nobody argued it. I'll just leave it at that. Nobody, even Judge Hidalgo was like, I'm also a nerd.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
that's fine.
I mean,
it's
hey, it wasn't very insightful what the mayor said. We could all come to that conclusion.
Yeah. But if you made, like, for example.
But
if
I would not do that on someone's announcement. No.
But if you did it on mine, like on a Facebook post, if I posted my kids and you're like, oh, she looks like a nerd, I'd be like, I don't care. That's Dell. We're friends. But, I don't give a. But they're not friendly. So it was so wild.
Yeah, what is that? And we do have a question for Art for you.
Okay.
He says, who would win in a fight? Her fiance or Whitmire?
Ooh, Mayor Whitmire's a little bit older now, but he looks like he's still kind of like gritty.
I
don't know. That's a tough one.
I think Lena Hidalgo's fiance would like to have a conversation. He want to talk to her. Hey, there's no need for that, buddy.
Hey.
Let's have a conversation. Hey, yeah. we're just people.
What are we, savages?
Yeah, we're not. He would drop.
are we savages?
Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm taking Whitmire by decision.
Yeah, so that was one of them. We also did best road trips to take from the city of Houston. That published today. So if you are looking for road trip ideas, we got you covered. And then tomorrow's episode, we recap all of the news. So if you've been so busy listening to sports radio, talking about, what's his name? Reed Shackelford. What's his name?
Gen Z Rex Chapman?
Yeah. What's his name?
It's Shepherd Shackelford. Is he a character in King of the Hill?
I don't know I forgot his name already. What was it? They called him Cocaine Curry.
Yeah, I have seen that.
I've seen that.
His nickname is now Cocaine Curry.
But what's his name? Shepherd Reed.
It's Reed Shepherd.
Okay, Reed Shepherd.
Yes.
Sounds like a 90s Astro, right?
It does sound like he should be a light-hitting shortstop taking over for Adam Everett or something.
Yeah. And now coming to the plate, Reed Shepherd.
He's a backup utility guy for the Astros. But in this generation, he's the number 3 overall pick.
That is so crazy. So if you're tired of listening about the draft, about J.P. France or J.P. France no longer pitching for the Houston Astros, we got you covered with the news.
But before you go, since you want to direct people from sports, have you been paying attention to what's going on with your university and Texas A&M?
Yes, I have. What's his name? Schlossnagel?
Schlossnagel.
Schlossnagel? The Schloss?
Yeah, they call him
the Schloss, right?
Schloss,
yeah. That was out of nowhere. I didn't know that like he was even up for that job. I know when the World Series started, the College World Series started, Chris Del Conte made that big firing, and everyone immediately said, well, one of the two coaches from the College World Series will probably interview for the job. I didn't think it was already a done deal, but look, it's Savage out there, man. That's college sports now. It's not the college sports of old where, hey, look, you know, we're not paying anybody. There's a lot of money at stake for the players, for the coaches, and you got to get your money, man. If that means you're going to sell out a whole university, then you got to do it, man. It's just, I wish you would have handled it better, but truthfully, I don't care. I know what the man stands for now. He's all about himself, and I love that.
I wish people would take a lesson from this particular instance. Stop acting like coaches are above it all. Yeah. They are just like any of us. We all would put our best interests in front of, you know.
Why wouldn't you?
The university that we allegedly love or the players that we've guided for the last few years. How much money are you paying me? I'd rather live in Austin than College Station. I will yell at that reporter because he got me upset in the moment I didn't want to be asked, and I'm out.
He's a 26-year-old. He's not a kid, John. Granato kept calling that guy a kid. He's 26 years old. 26. I was married at 27. Yo, he's 26 years old. I've met him. He's actually a really cool kid. He's a really cool guy.
He set it up like I went. It's like, I'm married at 27 or 26, like he went to war.
Yeah, like, I survived marriage at 27.
If I can go to war at 18, I should be able to drink.
Yeah.
The other thing, wait for 21.
I know we're against the break here and well over it.
Whatever.
But the other thing from this, what about the players, right? I heard this. How do you do this to the players? They gave you everything. We always treat sports as a metaphor for life. Hey, player, guess what? When you're working at this insurance company or this financial broker, your manager is going to leave and he's not going to care about your feelings. That is part of life. So why do we treat athletes like we coddle them? Why do we treat them differently? Like, what about our beloved athletes who are making so much money? Oh, what about those beloved athletes? No, it's life. Guess what? Managers are going to leave. CEOs are going to leave, and they don't have to tell you. They don't have to tell you. It's nice if they would, but it's not in their best interest to go to your players and say, hey, guys, by the way, I'm interviewing for the Texas job. I'm probably going to leave. We got game three tonight. Good luck, guys. You don't do that.
I don't care to your point. I think it's more about they put coaches in us. They think coaches are leaders of men.
Yeah, so, leaders of men.
And they cultivate these relationships with players. And, of course, you would tell them because that's the guy you're treating like your own son and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we all get, hey, just hit the baseball.
Just go. You know what? Lance Zierlein was a leader of men when he was here. He just left the station one day, remember? I was like, wait.
Oh, I did bring that up earlier.
I know. So I wanted to bring it back up.
I did not want to
bring
it up. I was
like, wait, Lance, you're my brother. You're leaving and now overshadowing my last day at the station. Do you remember that? That was my last day at the station.
Yeah, he got all the mentions and everything.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, I'm leaving too, guys.
It's like when, the guy I mentioned, Gal, earlier, his birthday is the same day as mine, and he would get a cookie cake, and they would, hey, Dell, you want to come down and get a piece? But it wasn't. They weren't celebrating me.
No, my favorite was when we would have those cookie cakes and they're doing Gal's cutting of cake ceremony, and they'd be like, "Del, do you want to just come up here?" They felt so bad for you. Like, why don't you just cut the cake too?
Yeah,
and you're like, "No, I'm good."
Yeah, the same.
I'm good. My name's not on the cake.
Yeah, well, I don't want a cookie cake. That's weird. I don't want to take a piece of this man's cookie cake. It's not even for me.
Also, nobody wants to eat a cake that has been blown on by two guys.
I wouldn't say nobody.
Candles.
I wouldn't say nobody.
Candles.
That is the effect of Raheel Ramzanali.
Thank you, Del. Thank you, Sean.
Once again, Raheel Ramzanali, the host of CityCast Houston. There may be a cat, but it's not in the title, despite what John likes to say.
No, CityCast.
We started the discussion about the...
Love you, buddy.
Stop saying things when I'm trying to end the segment, please. Thank you. But Raheel is done. He may be back at some point, as he told you. But we started the conversation with Texas and A&M. We started that conversation with Raheel. We'll continue that. We will continue that on the other side because there's sound from the slosh. The sloss. Is it slosh or sloss? What is it, Sean? The sloss?
There's no H.
The sloss. There is an H, but it's before. It's S-C-H-L-O-S-S.
It's like loss.
So the sloss.
Yeah.
The sloss had things to say. He does apologize. We'll hear from him on that. And the battle between Texas and A&M continues. And I'll ask Sean a question about, is this the biggest moment since a certain moment that may have ended the rivalry, but now it has been renewed? We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Tyler
Heretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big.